He is the new director of player personnel for the Toronto Maple Leafs and joins us on the phone. Mark, well, first of all, congratulations on the new gig.
Yeah, thank you, Bob and Steven.
So do you have to divest yourself of your equity position in the London Knights in order to take this job?
No, I'm not a manager anymore. We hired Basil McRae
right.
as the manager. So, you know, I'm not going to be going scouting 16-year-old kids or 15-year-old kids anymore, so I'll be looking for the older ones for the National Hockey League.
With the success that you guys have had in London, and it's been quite extraordinary if one looks at the big picture, and the family interest in the franchise, many would have thought this is where you are. This is what you're going to do. This is a kind of a lifetime family business, if you will. Not unlike having a pizza store down in the corner. This is what the Hunters do,
except a really successful one. Like, yeah, you have to really sell good, a lot of pizzas to
really
do,
good
do this
pizza
well.
Business. Yeah. Yeah. So you're giving up the pizza business to join the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's the motivation? What tweaked you and made you say, well, you know what? Time to do this.
Well, you know what? Number one thing, I got four kids, and they're all in university left. And it's a good time for me to spend more time on the road, which I can don't feel guilty with my family. That was huge for me, but then the Leafs, of course, it's a franchise that, you know, our family, and we're from Ontario, from Petroya. We grew up watching the Leafs play, and it's been really nice to be asked to be a part of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization and where I can hopefully help the process of finding more players.
I think a lot of people, the first question people asked today when they heard about this, Mark, was, how you fit into this organization. You know, Brendan Shanahan, the president, Dave Nonis, the general manager. You know, how do you fit in the pyramid there?
Well, you know what, I'm going to be, you know, helping out with, you know, the amateur scouting, and I'm going to be helping with the pro scouting and player evaluations. So them three things I'm going to be, you know, I don't know if overseeing, I guess it's overseeing and watching and judging and be a part of scouting and being out on the road to hopefully we can find more players and make the league stronger and get into the playoffs and this Stanley Cup.
Did Brendan approach you personally on this?
Kind of both, Dave and Brendan. And I met with them about maybe 8 days ago now. And so it was a good conversation. And we met a couple times, not just once, maybe three times. We went through things. So it was a good conversation. And you know what? I've seen we're all on the same page, which is great, and have the same idea what kind of players we're looking for.
What did you want to know going in? Obviously, you say Ontario guy. It's the Leafs. It's the NHL. All of that's so that's great. But
yeah.
when they asked you about the job, what were the questions you asked them?
Well, you know what. You know, what position, what I would take, what I was going to do, and what I was going to oversee. I mean, I mean, nothing against being just a territory guy of Ontario. I wanted more than that, and I want to be responsible for what the draft is, where it's going, and myself and Dave Morris will be looking at players and be given the ideas to Dave Nonis of what we want, and Brandon, what we're looking for.
Donald S. Cherry was on the program last night, and of course he ranted on the first Saturday night of Hockey Night in Canada this year about the Leafs' unwillingness to draft OHL players or Ontario kids, and he went on a similar rant last night. Is part of your mandate to refocus the Toronto Maple Leafs? Certainly not exclusively, but at least to some extent, pay more attention to CHL players than they have in the past?
Yeah, you know, we're going to look at, of course, we look at CHL players, but you still can't get away from who the best available is. I mean, if all of us think this player is from Sweden is the best player available and he's better than a kid from the London Knights, I mean, we have to draft what's best and who's the best and who has the most potential.
If you're talking to Don, I wouldn't mention that Sweden thing, by the way, just as
a tip, yeah.
But I mean, and hopefully, if you know what we look at, and we got Ontario kid that's you know, just the same. And, you know, like, you're going to lean towards more of the Ontario kid. So you can look at it both ways, guys. It's, you're going to take the best player available. But at the end of the day, it's if it's even, and then you start looking at all the intangibles.
Well, one of the things, too, and I mean, we have, you have to differentiate. I mean, you do have international players playing in the CHL. There is a limit on them, but there are... And it's not always the cream of the crop. You'd like to think it is, but it isn't always the cream of the crop. But you do have those kids. And I'm wondering, you know, apples to oranges, a kid who's played a couple or 3 years, well, say a couple of years in the CHL with the rigors that they go through, the number of games that you play, versus a kid who's playing in Sweden who may play 25 to 35 games in a year, is essentially playing once, maybe 1.5 games a week. I mean, don't you weigh, based on your experience, isn't that presence in North American or Canadian junior hockey more important?
Yes, it is. Of course, that's why I say all the intangibles in the whole what you're going to do of, okay, how many games he's playing. I mean, if it's even, you're going to lean toward ones that was more, it has been more schooled. So there's some tangibles that you look at when you're scouting that, you know, you got to do what's right for the organization, but you still got to look for the best player out there. I mean, if you were years past, I mean, there's guys that passed on Jaeger from New Jersey. I mean, that was a mistake that people passed on him.
Right. Do you see yourself attending more junior games or pro games?
I think I'll be a little bit more junior games than I will be pro games. So, I mean, like if you're talking, what I'm talking pro even more in the American League.
All sure, pro, that's what I meant. Yeah,
okay. That's what I would. That's kind of my job description, American League, and, you know, some National Hockey League, a bit more amateur, and then next American League, and then some pro. So,
And the primary function, I mean, when you think of player personnel, you don't. It's not necessarily player development, it's player personnel. It would encompass even the players that are playing for the Marlies, for example, but most people think that your principal role is to be an assistant heading towards next summer's draft. Is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, the next draft and, you know what, and help out finding players from the American League that maybe could be a fit for our for the Marlies. So, you know, both of them that I'll be looking at.
Did you have a conversation with your brother before you took the job? Was he encouraging, or is he happy to get rid of you, or what was that?
No, he was good. I mean, one thing we've worked well over the years together of you know what, we all have your fights, but the big picture was in place of winning, of course, and working together at the end of the day, and he knows that it was a goal of mine to do something like this, and you know, he had no problem with it.
Mark, while we got you, we got a few minutes left here. Just while we got you, I do want to ask you about the other story, to have one of the other stories of the day, which is, again, junior hockey players, some junior hockey players launching a legal action claiming they deserve greater compensation than they receive. You, up until today, you were running a very successful junior hockey team in London, both on the ice and off the ice. What's your response to the argument that, you know, that junior players getting paid essentially the same compensation they had 30 years ago is sufficient?
Well, I think one thing people, and you know, and Dave Branch knows more of what's going on than I do in this class action suit and the whole works, but I think it's left out there that we have a real good school package that we have for these young men. It's, you know what, we pay. A lot of these teams are paying a lot of money to put kids through school, which we should, because they are coming here to be a student athlete. And we have one boy right now that plays for Dakota Mermis who left Denver. And he's got, in 3 years, he'll have almost 3 years of university done already. And then we'll play for another 4 years.
So you think that, is that enough though, Mark? I guess that's the question. Everybody understands the scholarship program and that it's great. But is that enough?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is $15,000 a year enough for Dakota Mermis? I don't know that answer. I mean, it's hard to judge. And I think, you know, we're not just leaving these kids, you know, out to the dry and not getting anything. They're going to school. We're doing a lot of other stuff for them. But the school packages are there. And, I mean, you got to be a good enough student to do it. But there's good students out there, and there's universities that these kids are using it.
We congratulate you on the new appointment. We'll look forward to spending some time together. And we wish you the best of luck, and thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us tonight. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.